Welcome to another episode of This Silly with the Hooligans. Mitch, Brad.
Hello.
Matthew Bird.
Hello.
And we have via John Boat, via the flood rescue team, Mr. Pat Barry. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Dry.
Let's give his official title, President of St. Louis FC.
I was going to say, he has like 18 titles, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's got more titles than like a Duke of something.
If there's something going on at Soccer Park, Pat Barry had to sign something to make it happen.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. String puller. We'll just call him String puller. That works.
All right.
So, nothing going on at Soccer Park lately, is it?
Very slow, boring, not much going on.
Well, let's talk about it. Obviously, if anybody's paying attention via social media, we've seen another 100-year flood in 2 years.
Yeah.
Water got up, maybe not as high as last time, but did it? How much damage did it do? Less than last time, right? You guys were more prepared for it this time.
Yeah, the reason the damage was less because we were able to get most of the contents out of the building, prepare the fields better. So the damage was less, but the flood was really essentially the same, about 8 inches difference. So yeah.
When you're talking that many feet, inches don't really matter. Yeah.
44.1 to 33.3, it doesn't really matter.
No.
And I mean, the simple thing is there's nothing you can do about a flood of that nature. I mean, we can talk about, you know, sandbagging or whatever. When it's that high, it's literally an act of God. I mean,
there's no shop vac that's going to help you.
That'd be a hell of a shop vac. No, I mean, this last time, actually, Tom Strunk and I spent some time just talking about what could we do next time. If there is a next time, God willing, there won't be. So, you know, could we, if we change some structure within the building, maybe sandbags or something they call a water dam, maybe we look at that. But at the end of the day, like you said, it's an act of God, and we just got to deal with it.
At the end of the day, get after it.
There you go.
It's obviously, right. It's an institutional thing here.
Right now, how far has it gone down? I mean, we've seen some pictures where it's out of the parking lots, at least. You guys have gotten into the building. Are the fields clear, or is there still water standing on the field?
No, the water is actually down back within the confines that it's usually in.
Okay.
So actually the road, the outer road that takes you back to 44, if you go left out of the park, washed away in large part. So they're backfilling with rock to make sure nobody gets lost in that sinkhole.
Wow. Nice.
Actually, when we got in Thursday night, I believe it was, Wednesday or Thursday night, Petch and I put on waders and walked across the water. We couldn't stand it anymore and got in there. And so we've been in there since, I think, Thursday. And, yeah, the water's been off the field for almost 24 hours now.
Okay.
That's good.
And the good news is our pitch is still there?
The great news is that the turf was all where we left it with the exception of field three. And truth be told, we were maybe hoping, wink, wink, that rolled up. And it did a little bit. And so we're starting to figure out replacements now.
So the main turf's there. Now it's a question of cleaning it, re-top dressing it, and getting it ready for our next home game, which is officially June 2nd right now.
It is, and I probably shouldn't be saying this, but our plan right now is to move the turf that's on 1 to 3 and put the new turf on 1 so that I don't have to hear Preki yelling at me every day that he's at the park.
Right.
But it's what's best for all involved. So that's kind of the plan right now. We're working through the insurance company to make sure they're good with that. It appears they are. So actually tomorrow morning there's going to be crews there cleaning the turf and getting everything ready.
I do want to say we've had a lot of people, you know, reaching out to us. I'm sure you have on Facebook and on Twitter wanting to volunteer. Some of this stuff we just really have to let the professionals do, though. I mean, I know the last flood, Jeremy said there's a strict process for how everything has to be cleaned and A-OK according to...
You got
to
have your shots.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, if there is an area where we can help, please let us know. But otherwise, you guys kind of know what you're doing now, especially since not too long ago you did the very same thing.
Exactly. And Petch and Jeremy and I have decided we're going to start a disaster recovery company on the side and make millions. But no, you're exactly right. They got to come in and treat everything the right way so that mold doesn't grow and all the bacteria and stuff. And then once we're done with that, really the staff's amazing. They get out there, they get everything done. And then we have to let professionals come in after that again and then rebuild everything. So we do appreciate all the outreach, and it's every time something like this happens to us, it's amazing. But at the end of the day, we need to let everybody do their thing so we can get back as quickly as possible, and we know what's around the corner, and that's what we're aiming for.
One thing that did float up in some of those pictures we saw, there might be some stands that weren't there, weren't where they're supposed to be. Was that Section 20, I think, that floated down a little bit?
Section 20 decided it wanted a better view and went to midfield.
Sure.
And honestly, I'm amazed that after two floods, that's the only thing that's happened to those bleachers. But yeah, it did. It broke away, and so we'll have to replace that. We may configure it a little bit differently when we rebuild it. And so, so not a big deal. That one, that's easily fixed.
Okay.
It's amazing that it hadn't happened before now, though, really, if you think about it. It's like, you know, just it's metal. It's going to, you know, water's going to get in there, obviously, being stainless or whatever. It's aluminum. It's going to be. But to think that much power behind the water never sheared off the bolts and sent.
Well, yeah, and how quickly that water comes up and the force that it brings with it.
And goes down, too, because it goes down pretty quickly, too, as well.
And there's huge, if you haven't been to the park, and we don't want a ton of people coming by, but if you are interested, the size of the trees that are on the bleachers right now. They're going to need, I don't even think a chainsaw is going to do it. They're going to have to get equipment in there to lift it out. And,
holy cow.
And they're just sitting up on the bleachers as if they're there to watch a game. It's amazing. and the fact that those haven't hit it and torn everything away is amazing. So we're fortunate. Section 8, God overlooks Section 8, untouched. Ready for you guys to get
it's
back.
Waterlogged every week. Just dripping beers made it impervious to liquids.
What I'm hearing. It's invincible.
Yeah, here's some good news. How happy are you hadn't installed the new video board yet?
Is the insurance company listening to this?
No, wait, we're claiming.
Totally kidding. No insurance fraud yet. Yeah. So, no, that worked out. Actually, we were within days of putting the new one up.
Yeah.
And so, very, very fortunate it sat there, and now we'll be able to put the new one up here in the next couple of weeks. So, maybe somebody was smiling down on us.
Now we were due to play last Saturday against Rochester, and it turns out we just postponed the game. Was that the only option, or was that the best option? Was there any alternatives out there? How was that decision made, and what channels did you have to go through?
Yeah, the first step was to notify the league, and then they had to get Rochester involved.
Did you just send them a picture? Well, I don't think we're ready.
Well, probably what you're going to find, I'm going to say stuff I shouldn't tonight. But
that's one of what the people do here.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things is the Rochester group, I don't think they really understood. So when they got the first message like, hey, we need to do something with this game, I'm not sure it was the best response. And then I think they obviously saw the pictures that were going out, and so they figured it out. But yeah,
it wasn't just a few puddles on the field.
No, it wasn't raining a lot. Well, it was raining a lot, but not just that. So we had to call the league. They get a hold of Rochester. And honestly, the league was great. They looked at a bunch of different scenarios that actually involved other teams adjusting the schedule. And it just the only way it could work was for us to move the game and find a new date in St. Louis. And we've done that. And so I think we're going to be announcing that hopefully on Friday.
Now, when you did postpone the game and you look at our injury list, did you kind of smile and go, yeah, let's postpone the game?
Interesting question. That was my response. To be truthful, the coaches were disappointed.
Okay. That was my response as well. Pat. I was like, yeah, we're missing a midfield. I'll do something else this Saturday.
It's so interesting because I got the injury report from Brian Bounds today, and it's just so much cleaner than it was for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, hey, maybe this break turned out to be a great thing. But coaches wanted to play. They're good with it. They understand it. And I think Charleston's about to get hit with something they're not ready for because these guys are just chomping at the bit to get out there.
Well, that's the – I mean
– one of the benefits of being with St. Louis Scott Gallagher and the large footprint you guys have in St. Louis is – you have training facilities around the city that we could utilize. So the guys didn't miss any days of training out there. And I can tell you when you guys posted a few video clips showing the guys out there, roll call happened right away. People are screaming, Dragon's running, you know, oh wait, there's Pleva. He's fine. And so I think we literally saw everybody running in those video clips except for Mirkovich. So I don't know if you can confirm or deny that everyone's healthy, but it looked pretty good in the training clips that people were actually running.
From what I can tell, and I haven't seen the guys in a week, so in fairness, this is just from what I get from the injury report and talking to Jeremy a little bit. You know, Ivan's obviously still out, and Milan's still nursing through some things. Everybody else appears to be cleared to play, so it'll be interesting to see who rolls out there on Saturday in Charleston.
Cool.
Now, we talk about the next game, June 2nd. It could be next week, depending on what happens tomorrow night.
Yeah, the U.S. Open Cup. Tomorrow night, we've got Wichita versus Colorado Azteca. And if Colorado wins?
If Colorado wins, we're
then
at home.
Then we're hosting it.
If Wichita wins, we go to Wichita.
So how would that work, Pat? Would we – kind of hard to believe you'd be ready for a game at Soccer Park next Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. We won't be able to play there for a few weeks. We won't be able to do anything there for a few weeks, to be honest. But if we do have to host on the 17th, Jeremy and I are right now in discussions with a couple of different places to make sure we have a home. They're places that everyone would know. So as soon as
the grade school right across the street here.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I don't have to
right
go
next
far.
To the pool so everybody can jump in and grab their can of beer. So I think, honestly, we're going to wait till Wednesday night.
Sure.
See what happens. And then Thursday morning, we'll get it settled and schedule a game.
But deep down, you're like, come on, Wichita. It was a solid.
If you've been to Wichita, you know I'd never root for that.
I was going to say, I'm sure Petch has something to say about playing in Wichita.
He won't go, he told me.
Yeah, Petch is apparently banned from Wichita. What's the story with that?
Oh, there's some amazing stories. I don't think there's just one. But when Petch was a player, the rivalry between St. Louis and Wichita was amazing. And so,
okay, it goes back to his indoor days.
Oh, my gosh. And I think there was fights in the stands. There was all kinds of things. So
he's straight out the Hanson brothers.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so I'm sure there's people there that still legitimately hate him.
Ah, that's even better. Good. That's even better than
exactly.
So yeah, we definitely want to play them then for multiple reasons.
Well, if we do in fact play Wichita, that settles it. Petch is our guest on the podcast leading up to that because we'll get some of those Wichita stories on.
Yeah, definitely.
And Petch is also he'll be a little farther along in the cleanup. I mean, I think that night Fred said he was out there making sure the porta potties were secured. Isn't that Petch's job?
He's the porta potty guy. Man, he loves that job. He loves those Monday morning phone calls. How did the porta potties do?
Well, he needs to step up his game. I think we need a few more down there.
We love you, Petch.
We're hoping that a couple floated down from another job site and just kind of planted itself down there.
There can never be enough.
Save you guys a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, we should talk about Orlando City B. We haven't had a podcast since that game. I don't
remember it.
There wasn't
and it wasn't because I was drunk. It was because it was incredibly boring.
It was a boring game, but it wasn't a loss. Let's say that. And Grinwis had a great game. He was up for USL Save of the Week.
God, that he went vertical, horizontal, I should say. That was amazing. That was amazing. We are not in a bad shape if he has to play.
No, he's a good young keeper.
It's a great feeling.
I like Gorick, but I don't think you can drop a goalkeeper that just had a shutout. Personally, I just don't see it. And I was speaking to Christian Valeski.
I don't know so much. I mean, that one save was a great save, and I'll give him that. But there wasn't a lot happening in that game either way.
I understand. But I spoke to Christian Valeski last week doing that interview thing, and he played with Adam at Rochester.
Yeah.
And he said, this kid is going places.
There
he said, I rate him very highly.
How do we keep having these good goalies? That's amazing.
Jones is asking for a raise.
I think so.
Yeah. He's turning him into great goalies, right? Isn't that what he says?
Yes. Yeah. I just noticed Pat's grimace on that one. You know who actually signs the checks. Fred makes it happen, but we know who's actually doing the payroll. It was as we're having this conversation about Petcher, by the way, he just messaged saying sorry he couldn't be here. I said, hey, we're talking about you right now.
That's right.
He wanted to come badly.
I know. He's got to get those caps up.
I know. Everybody else is blowing them away at this point in time.
A couple things we got coming up.
That was all on OCB. That was the game right there.
Honestly.
30 seconds.
That's all it warrants. It was.
We didn't create much. Neither did they.
It was the most boring game I've seen.
I will say, though, Bjerman had the ball in the back of the net, and they didn't show a replay because I think it was very close.
Oh, when the offsides call?
At the end of the first half.
Yes.
It looked close. It looked close.
It elicited quite a yell at the bar, and then a groan.
Yes,
because we saw that flag up on the side.
I didn't even go back and normally the day after I'll go back and watch it, so I can not be completely stupid on here. I didn't have any desire to, and knowing how close that was, I think it would have just made me angry if I would have seen
the
truth.
I think if it had been a slam dunk offside, they'd have showed it on a replay, and they never did, and that. I question that.
Well, to be fair, we also are talking about the USL broadcasting, which has been horrible this year. And let's actually
Pat, you don't have to say anything because
I'll say whatever you want.
It has been atrocious, and I understand that there are some teams that had really bad broadcasts, and the idea was to lift them up to other people's standards. But we had a really good broadcast and it brought ours way down.
I don't know. Just a couple of the ones I've seen, and obviously everyone's going to be different. The camera angle in Cincy was awful. Mm. The guy in Orlando.
That's not even talking about the announcers for the Cincy game.
Oh,
that
we'll
we
get
had.
To the announcers, but the guy in Orlando, half the time he wasn't even on the ball. Like no,
he was
oh,
like
the camera guy.
He was like yeah. 15 feet off, so the ball was always where yeah. The score banner is.
Yeah. So it was awful, and the announcers, not talking about Cincinnati because that was a different thing, but just in general, they've just been awful.
They've got this girl, and I think she played at Virginia Tech or something.
She knows what she's talking about, but it takes her forever to get it out.
It's rough.
She talks like this,
and I think there needs to be more women voices in the game.
Absolutely.
Just not hers.
Knows her stuff, and that's the hard part for me is that she knew her stuff and her points were accurate. It just took her.
She takes
22
too long to get them out.
To get them out.
I do like Mike Watts. I think he's done all right. I've listened to his show on Sirius a few times. He seems to know the league, and that's all you can really ask for.
They need to get that show available to all the fans. Though,
I think so.
Because I can't listen to it because I don't have Sirius.
Yeah. My father-in-law has it. I could borrow his logon, but you know that's too much work at this point in time. But it should be downloadable, like the longest-running USL podcast.
That's right. But I do think USL is trying to do something with this video production thing, and we do have to give them a little bit of, you know, learning period of growth to make it happen. And it is going to be better, like Mitch said, than some broadcast feeds. I mean, there won't be the Oklahoma City. You know, whoever left their lights on in the Walgreens parking lot, the Toronto 2 game that literally looked like somebody was holding a laptop to film the games. I mean, there were some pretty bad ones in the past, so hopefully it will all balance out. But
I do think not having the announcers in the building is a huge detriment because they don't.
But it happens. It happens with ESPN and
sure it does. You know, I mean Ray Hudson is in a studio in Florida watching the games in Spain.
But you don't get the feeling that
he's Ray Hudson. These guys are not Ray Hudson.
Yeah, you don't get the feeling they have like the full feed because they're not commenting on the atmosphere at the game.
Nope.
They're just doing the play by play and they need to know what's happening in the stadium. So I would hope that USL has like multiple camera angles to choose from, but I doubt that they do in some of these locations. But you know,
how many, Pat?
Four.
But you know,
guys are being way nicer than
when you see like an NFL production truck, for example, at Monday Night Football, they always do the little shot there, and there's 18 cameras,
and that's the thing is that if these guys. I genuinely feel that they're watching the same exact thing we are,
right.
with the logo in the top left corner and everything.
What was that service last year that we talked about doing a game for?
Rabble,
yeah. It's like Rabble.
Yes.
And Rabble doesn't exist anymore. It makes me sad.
Oh.
Because I was going to give it a shot. But it seems to be the USL broadcast thing. It just seems to be very hit and miss right now. But that said, the last couple of years when... You know, you'd watch Oklahoma City, as you mentioned, and their broadcast was terrible. So theirs is now 100% better.
Right.
But
ours took a serious hurt. Because, I mean, Bill and
Ramsey
did a great job and knew their stuff and would comment on the game and the flow.
And you know your market and you know things that happen during the week that you can mention during the game, things like that that are definitely going to be missing.
I don't feel like the USL's broadcasters have that voice in the ear that a lot of good productions do where it's like, okay, you know, this guy went to this college, this guy went to that. They don't have that constant stream of info coming into him.
Well, and you also mentioned Ray Hudson. We know Ray Hudson is a junkie for soccer. He's paying attention all week.
Newcastle fan, by the way.
Well, there you go. But you don't get the feeling that these USL people have done their homework and are passionate about it. They're just calling the game in front of their eyes.
Yeah. I feel like they're a minor league baseball announcer that got a job doing the soccer game.
Which
as well.
Plenty of USL announcers were that last year too.
Louisville.
Yeah.
But Matt, you were going to say something before I jumped all over you.
No, I can't remember. Can't remember. I remember Oklahoma City had this guy, and he was English. And you laugh and joke about me being a token English dude.
Yeah.
He was a token English
dude. I remember.
Terrible.
I do remember that.
And Colorado Springs have this dude called Roland Vargas, who will not shut up. I mean, he speaks at 3,000 miles an hour, and you know, it's just funny. You get these characters around the league that.
But that's the thing. I mean, it's supposed to have characters. It's supposed to have that. You know, Vin Scully was a character. Mm-hmm. You know, the famous announcers were characters. This sport needs characters at this level.
Consistency.
Yes. Well, that's granted. But if you have a character, you can make up for the inconsistencies. If you have something that people want to listen to.
That's what we based this whole podcast on. We're horribly inconsistent, but we're characters.
But that's the point. You know, you can put out a decent product by being entertaining.
I'm just glad we can watch the games. Let's not kid ourselves.
Don't get me
that's
wrong.
A huge thing.
Not that long ago, you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, do we know if tomorrow's U.S. Open Cup game is going to be streamed? Because Wichita and Colorado, I don't know that they have facilities to do that.
I don't know.
It's probably not, I have to say. And
which that sucks, and you're just like watching Twitter to see who you're going to play. But
And if we play Wichita, we're going to have to watch Twitter again.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Now we'll send PK down there, and he can Periscope it. Don't tell anyone.
Facebook Live.
I mean, it's a 6-hour drive. If I wasn't working, I'd go myself. I mean, it's not
Bird's
that far.
Working. Yeah. That just amuses me hearing Bird working.
Why don't you take the guys on a road trip?
Yeah, go deliver some freight.
Yeah. we're gonna do a pretend delivery to Wichita tonight.
Beautiful downtown Wichita. Yeah.
These are just the exact kind of circumstances you're going to run into as a driver.
We can take $30. You'll need it for the toll road.
Yeah. Back up to the stadium gate. Just back it right up there. All right, Mitch is
not finding any information.
So
about
if it does, we will obviously tweet it in the morning. But I wouldn't count on that happening. A couple dates to mention: May 13th is this weekend. We've got Rochester Rhinos, which we mentioned, top team in the USL East, and we're going to be doing a watch party at ITAP, Soulard location. So that's the day before Mother's Day. What?
Charleston, right?
Charleston. Sorry, I said Rhinos. I'm on the That's the postponed game.
Yep.
Charleston Rhino.
Charleston.
I've got character. Battery. Don't forget I have character. The Charleston Battery are leading the USL, and we will be facing them, and you can come watch at ITAP with us.
Now, bear in mind, Rochester beat Charlotte 4-0, and Charlotte just beat us. Charleston beat Rochester 5-0. So they're a good team.
Yes, they're a very good team.
Now, I do think Pat's right. You know, we're going to get a slew of players back. I don't think they'll have played a team as tough as us yet. Yeah. So they're in for a battle, you know. So,
but it's always, you know, like as Pat said, the coaches kind of wanted to keep playing. And, you know, there's that they've got a week of rust maybe because they haven't played. So, I mean, you never really know what you're going to get. I have faith in this team. I think they're a good team. But they are playing a really good team in Charleston.
According to Soccer America, the game will be streamed.
Oh, awesome.
I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's right. What it says right now.
We're talking
now.
About the Open Cup now.
Yes, sorry.
But if we'll find
still, I was still doing my work. See, this is what the USL broadcasts need. Yes. They need somebody doing the homework behind the scenes.
Yes. And some guy who's talking about
they're writing this down.
And some guy who's talking about a team that they didn't play.
Yeah. And drinking and cursing.
Yeah.
So if anyone's listening who's going to Charleston from St. Louis, I went there 2 years ago, try and snag tickets to go in the Three Lions pub because the memorabilia on the wall is phenomenal. Go see Tom Byrne and Bobby Bees and her husband Phil. They will take care of you at the tailgate beforehand.
They actually came to the soccer park last year. Great people.
Yep. And Go hang out with their supporters groups. They're really accommodating, really welcoming. You'll get that
regiment.
You'll get that side eye look as you walk up, and they'll all look at you going, "He's wearing a St. Louis shirt." But they're really cool guys. So if anyone's going to Charleston, you're gonna have a great time.
To be fair, I think most people are gonna give you that if you go that far to watch a game. They're gonna be like, "What the hell is wrong with this guy?" They just don't know you.
But you know what? Every game, there's always one or two people from St. Louis there. Yeah, I always like to hear that.
We've been pretty consistent over the past 3 years. I think, the first year there was only one game, and that was Toronto, I think.
Or there was nobody there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, because that was the year that Mario was in New York.
Mario was in New York, yep. Another date coming up, May 20th, American Outlaws are having a FIFA tournament at Amsterdam Tavern. So if you fancy yourself a FIFA expert, they're doing a tournament. They'll have both PlayStation and Xbox there, so you can register online for that.
Can we play FIFA 94 on the Sega instead?
That would be awesome. That's a tournament that I would be down
I'm in for that one.
I bet we could get Gottman to get a GameStop.
I got a Sega right there, baby.
He could sponsor it. That would be fun.
I think I've got a 94 around here somewhere.
And then we could get an Atari 2600 Pele Soccer.
I could do it. The Atari's around here somewhere.
There we go.
No, it's in back.
We'll just do it at your house. Fuck everybody else.
Play on a 70-inch TV playing
That's
Atari.
Right.
Run it through the server.
Well, it'll be a 4-3, so it'll squeeze it down a bit.
Exactly.
All right, and I have to mention it just because it once again became news yesterday.
Newcastle is going up, baby. Woo!
That's what I was going to talk about. No, Pat, just close your ears because no one worked harder on the whole MLS to St. Louis than Pat and his staff there at St. Louis FC.
God damn it, we weren't going to talk about this.
I know, but I have to mention it.
No, you didn't.
I do. It's my job.
It's okay. It's really okay.
You guys did a great job working on that, and you know, props to all you guys. We still get questions about it, and Randy Carricker on the Fast Lane brought it up yesterday and said that Plan B is happening. He promised more information today, and the more information today just was he's heard there's thinking about a Plan B. So it may or may not be totally dead, but as of right now, there is nothing to report on MLS to St. Louis. If we hear anything that is reportable or worth mentioning, we will. So when you see rumors flying around, they're rumors until we hear more. So
not that we're like the authority.
No, no, no.
I'd like to think that we have fairly good connections on this topic.
Well,
I mean, kind of.
But
maybe.
You know what? You guys especially have done this long enough to know what flies in the soccer world and what doesn't fly in the soccer world. And
no, we're just idiots.
No, you guys know the lay of the landscape. And you guys know that MLS is not going to hang around for us.
You know, that's one from
no, when they've got 11 other cities waiting to throw them
out. And, you know, when you see other cities like Indianapolis who were going to put in and said, we can't do it without public funding, it's a hard path to travel. This is a league that doesn't make money. This is a league that is not profitable for the owners unless you own the stadium, unless you have certain merchandising rights, you know, like the Galaxy. It's not profitable.
I just don't see. And again, Pat, if you can't talk about this, I understand. But I listened to Jim.
Let's
and his
get him
numbers.
Another beer.
I listened to Jim and his numbers when we sat around that boardroom, and his numbers, as it were scary enough.
Yes.
Let alone bringing another guy in to spread those even thin potential profits in 10 years' time even thinner. I just don't see.
But
it.
That was
I
the thing.
Don't see.
Jim
it.
Sat here and said, "Listen, the projections tell us we're not going to see a profit for at least 10 years, at best."
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any sort of investment where I'm going to take that chance. I can't do it. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Pat can't do it. We cannot throw our money away like that, wasting, hoping something's going to happen.
And it just, I just don't see a viable option anymore.
I'll just say, you know, you said MLS isn't going to stick around. The one thing that is always true of MLS, has always been true, and will always be true, if you've got a check, they'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
So if magically $60 million, no, but if $60 million presents itself to Jim and Paul and the people who were working on it and it makes sense and they can make it happen, then there might be a plan B. But right now, and this isn't based on, you know, one inside source. We talked to all kind of people in soccer in St. Louis. And if rumors were spreading that were legitimate, we'd hear it from a couple different sources, and we haven't really heard anything other than maybe.
So here's my take. First of all, I respect Jim a lot for being truthful throughout the whole process. Plan B was never and will never be the owners just putting in more money. They were honest when they said, you know, the numbers didn't work and they were tight. Everything you guys just said is true. And so Plan B is not just write a bigger check. Obviously, there's been some things floated around since the vote didn't go through. And they're going to, because they're good businessmen and they care about St. Louis, they were sincere that this was good for the city. They're going to look at it. I agree. They're not going to wait around forever. MLS won't. Mm-hmm. I do think there's probably a window probably till the fall. But there's no plan that somebody's working diligently on to make work. But having said that, you know, if somehow miraculously something came through that worked, I'm sure that they would take a good hard look at it. But the stuff in the last week, you know, is a little frustrating for us because we're focused on St. Louis FC. It's what we care about.
I'm glad to hear about the St. Louis FC because I heard Jeremy on the radio today, and all everyone wanted to talk to Jeremy about was the MLS thing. And you know, we keep banging the drum about support what you've got now. This is a good league, competitive league, and this is our team here and now.
No, for sure. And Jeremy did a good job today because I think he probably went on that show with one premise and it ended up being totally about MLS, which is fine. I mean, look, that's what people want to talk about. But
and I think that's going to continue. There will always be people still wanting to know about that. But as we keep telling people, you're really missing out if you're not enjoying what we have right now.
No, and the things that we're trying to do and our vision for the future, you know, if MLS never comes, you know, I'm fine. I know what we've got, something that's really, really good, and it's going to continue to grow. And if MLS were to somehow come through, great too. But, you know, I think I talked with the staff countless times since we started that effort that we win either way. We win if it's MLS, and if it's not MLS, we've got one of the best franchises in the league with a with huge upside. So
I guarantee,
and waterfront property.
I guarantee if we got MLS, the GM and presidents are not sitting in a basement talking to a podcast.
Probably, you not. Know. Well, they might be if we kidnap them and tie them up. And
but in all honesty, they should, because that's what makes this sport great, in my opinion, is that it's not. It's not a situation. It shouldn't be a situation where the people who work for the team or the players or the coaches feel they're above anything. You know, you guys are the real fans, the true fans. And if we can't spend time with you, then shame on us.
And I like to think if we were in Phoenix, Drogba would be in the basement.
Oh, let's talk about that, man. They got
I don't have
If I was in Phoenix, I'd just be happy if Drogba showed up to play a game.
I don't have AstroTurf in my front yard, yeah, so he could come here.
Yeah, there you go.
I watched them this on Saturday, man. They got slaughtered.
Was it as bad as the score indicated? I haven't seen
Yes, it was pretty horrific. And you know what, Phoenix...
I saw one of their fans tweeted out, maybe Yallop did do something.
Yeah.
They beat Swope the week before, and... I think they knew it was Yallop's last game, and they really went out and played for him.
Yeah.
And then
that being said, they gave up 3 late goals to Swope.
Well, they had to play a send off though too.
Yeah. Okay.
That said, and I've kind of taken a real interest in Phoenix. What with them buying these players like Bravo and Sean Wright Phillips, and now Drogba coming in, because I think they're getting names and not players. You know,
I get it, for the attention, it does serve them well to get their name out there in the media and everything, but it's not building a base at all.
And they haven't scored yet. Yeah. You know, Bravo and Wright Phillips haven't scored yet, you know, and at some point the soccer fans are going to realize that this is a fraud. You know, that.
Well, and that's the whole thing about, and we can talk about this in regards to MLS. See, Pat's got the bad mic stand now. I told you that mic stand sucks. but in regards to MLS, you're bringing in these retirement league players that we always talk about.
The name.
And there are some of them that can still do a job. And there are guys like Thierry Henry, whose level of play is such that even if he's not what he was...
60% of Thierry Henry is still better than a lot of
players. He can still play
in
this league. And I'm not sure Sean Wright Phillips or Omar Bravo are that much better than your average player in this league. I don't think today.
Maybe 3 years ago.
Now,
4
Drogba,
years ago.
Drogba is. If Drogba is even halfway healthy and they trot him out there and they can get the ball to him in the key, he's going to put it
what's
away.
What's motivating Sean Wright Phillips? Here's the thing. The guy's a multimillionaire. What's motivating him? I would argue that Irvin Herrera, Christian Valeski are hungrier, quicker, and more motivated than...
But can't you say that about Wayne Rooney or anybody else that's been around for a while?
Absolutely, I do. I mean, absolutely. You look at how the England national team plays. That's why they get battered by Iceland, because the team that's making way less are hungrier, more motivated.
And that brings in the next part, too, is that it, much like the national teams like that, like an all-star team, when you're bringing in names, you don't have a cohesive team. You can't expect them to play like a team if they're not there to do so.
And especially if, as I assume, Drogba's getting paid five times as much as what your average.
I think he's getting paid in shares.
Well, I'm sure he is. But when they're going out to their team meal before the game, and the Grant Wall book on David Beckham, you know, sort of exemplified this. Beckham had to really do a good job of making everybody feel comfortable as his teammate, and that included picking up lunch for everyone because they knew he was making so much more money than him, and renting a jet for the whole team to go. I don't know if Drogba's that kind of guy where he's going to come in and make these guys his teammates, or if he's really just there to be a guy that sells shirts and he's there to get his shares of a potential MLS team. I don't know that much about Drogba. He didn't seem to bet in well when he was in Montreal.
Nor China.
It was the whole, I'm not playing anywhere where there's turf. And how does that make you feel if you're a guy on his team who's making a fraction of what he's making?
Now, on the flip side of the coin, you look at someone like Joe Cole, who's gone to Tampa, right. Kept his head down, works, and plays.
And he's made himself a member of the team.
And contributing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's
and you can say that about Keane. And there are guys that do come over. I mean, Jovinko, they're coming over and doing the work. Those guys do succeed. But there's been a lot of guys that come over and don't. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what's going on in Phoenix.
I just don't see. And again, I'm taking my personal statements of Chelsea players out of this, just strictly as
this has nothing to do with Chelsea.
I know, but it's
but you had to get it in there.
But it's him because he played for them and he was a piece of shit. But the thing is that again, he's been a hitman for hire.
Yeah,
you know, when he left Chelsea, he did the Montreal thing. He did China, where honestly, if you're playing in China or the Saudi Arabia league, you're doing it because you're getting paid stupid money and you have low expectations.
Yeah.
At this point in time, any real integrity he has to really show because it isn't there.
Well, and I think we all know that should they come out and announce the next two teams and Phoenix isn't one of them, do you expect Drogba to stick around?
No. Absolutely not. Phoenix is not L.A. It's not New York. It's not even Chicago.
Right.
It's 114 degrees in the middle of July.
Yeah, and they don't have their air-conditioned stadium yet.
No, they do.
I mean, they're just grateful to have a stadium.
Well, and they've got a nice little park that they've put up quickly, and it's great, and there's nothing wrong with it. But, yeah.
It's 114 in July.
It's nasty out there.
Yeah.
And I wish those fans good luck because the fans in Phoenix have been great. They've stuck through four different ownership groups and three name changes.
And they're finally getting good numbers too.
Yeah. It's working. Their method of getting the name out there is working.
Here's the thing, and this goes back to my point though. They keep playing like that on the field. Those fans that have been enticed by the names are going to realize it's not all what they say it is, and they'll start drifting away.
You know, the perfect person to ask about what happens after 2 years of putting out shitty teams on the field.
Do you guys know somebody? I can call somebody that I used to work with. Yeah.
Well, but you don't fix it by signing a big name like Preki. Oh, wait a minute.
This is getting really uncomfortable.
No. You know what you do? You go out and buy Christian Valeski and Dragan Stojkov and Ivan Mirkovic. Yeah. Players, not names.
Yeah.
And that's what...
I would just obviously...
I know.
Trust me, I felt it every day.
Well, but I think... And that's also part of it. You can see with this group, and I'm saying nothing about the past owners of Phoenix, because I think Kyle Eng was a fan.
He's a good man.
I think he did try to do a lot of things. And, you know, different owner... I mean, Wayne in Louisville was another guy that did a lot of hard work, but ended up getting forced out. We think probably over... financial issues, which Louisville's got that albatross of slugger around their neck. And they're getting a new stadium, and good for them. But we see it with St. Louis FC interacting with, you know, Pat's down there at the tailgate, if not every game, every other game, or you come over to Section 8, or we see you at different events around town. Jeremy's the same way. Tom and Jim, all the people that work with St. Louis FC, we can see it on your faces. You know, it's not. There are sometimes, I mean, let's talk about Stan Kroenke. He never showed up to Rams Park. He didn't give a shit. He's not going to Arsenal games. He don't care that Arsenal's finishing fifth or sixth. I mean, he might because he's going to get less money this year. But you guys lived and died with this team, and that makes a difference to me. So, yes, results maybe weren't what we wanted, but we knew it affected you. We knew it, you know, you didn't just not care.
There's one person you can ask if the loss has affected me, and that's my wife. And she swears that I walk two steps into the door, she would know.
Yeah.
And look, Jeremy's the same, everybody's the same way. We want to win, and the organization that we have, you know, people, whether it's Scott Gallagher on the youth side, and everybody on the pro side, they're just used to winning, right? And so when we didn't win, it was very frustrating for everybody, Dale included, right? I mean, you know, Dale's won his whole life too. So it's not easy, but when it's not working, you got to make some changes and try and go to a place where you're going to win, and hopefully we're there.
We'll find out.
Got a long way to go.
But that's nice, though. I mean, it's completely a different environment at this point in time. Just there's I hate to say it this way, there was a culture of losing at some point in time. And the clearing of house of players, the change in the coaching, you know, and it came down from ownership as well. Hey, we're balls out. We're going. You know, it's a different environment. This is if you can't feel it, you're dead.
Exactly. And you know what's unfortunately, I use this phrase all the time. Sometimes the first guy through the door gets shot. And, you know, Dale got us started. We got into the league. None of us had a ton of information about the level of play, and it was in the process of changing. And it was being elevated very quickly, faster than a lot of teams could keep up with. And so, you know, he did a great job. But I agree with you. I mean, one of the assessments we made was that it just – there wasn't that feeling that they were going to find success. There wasn't that feeling that they were just about to turn the corner, and so that's why, you know, we did what we did. And Preki's got a whole different pedigree, and I mean, you guys have been around him. He can literally will that team on his own to do better.
We've been around him from a distance. Yeah. Make sure we clarify that.
Yeah. Fair enough, but it's, you know, he's creating a culture that's very, very competitive. Whether successful or not, we still don't know. But it's very, very competitive. It's very intense. And he's very demanding, and I think a good way so far. I haven't heard otherwise. So I'm excited to see where he can take this thing. And look, we got a long, long runway ahead of us. And Preki, you know, likely won't be our only coach forever. There'll be somebody after him at some point. But we want to create an organization that year in, year out, people look at and say they've been successful over the long haul.
Claude Anelka is available.
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't.
Speaking of signing the
he's
big
great
names.
For culture.
That's right.
You don't expect Preki to stick around. You expect at some point he's going to get snatched away, but that will be because he's been successful here.
Right.
You know, we want him to be successful here. We want him to be on the radar for bigger.
They're not going to take him.
Just like
losing.
Every other player.
Yeah.
You know, we want our players. We love watching Alec Cam play in Atlanta. We love that Drew Connor got a start for Fire this week.
How great is that?
That's wild.
I seeing both of those.
Singing the Take Me Out to the Ball Game at the Cubs game with Schweinsteiger and Dax McCarty.
I mean, that was fantastic. And Alec, I mean, again, this is a guy that did his time here. He's worked his way up. It sounds like he's going to get kind of dumped to the side for
Bad Guzan.
Well, yeah. Hey, but that's the way it is. And
but he's doing well.
He's
doing
no, great. No, I know.
He's doing great. And he's got to be on the radar for the national team. I've got to believe that because he's been
Going back to Drogba, if Phoenix had a goal scorer that was doing really well this year, not that they do, but if they did and Drogba's ready to play, guess what? That kid's sitting his ass down and Drogba's going out there because that's –
That's
you know,
how it works.
And right. The same thing with Guzan. Atlanta brought in Guzan. They wanted a big name. They got a big name. And now, if Guzan fucks up for a couple weeks in a row, maybe Khan gets a chance.
Well, and what's their faces aren't letting him go early.
Yeah.
Like they were originally, the conversation was.
Yeah.
So he may not be, Guzan may not be coming over as soon as he intended.
Yeah. All right. We got a few questions for Pat. Not a whole lot today.
Oh, boy.
First one is from a longtime listener, Fred. He wants to know, how many big gulps do you drink a day? And I'm interested to know because I drink a fair amount of soda myself.
All right, so I think I know why he's bringing this up. So, May 15th, 1995. this is a true story.
Going to the Wayback.
Wow. This is in the Wayback Machine. So I was working for the St. Louis Ambush, just won the first championship in St. Louis history in, I don't know, first few days of May. And I told Daryl Duran, the coach at the time, that I was drinking about 12 sodas a day. And he said, I'm 19 or 20, I don't remember how old I was. And he said, I'll bet you a case of beer, yes, illegal, that you can't
Statute
quit for a month.
Is
yeah, it's done, right? Everybody's safe. You can't go a month without drinking a soda. So I took the bet, and I haven't had one since.
Nice.
Yeah. And
good
so great, healthy lifestyle decision. However, my beer consumption went way up. It continues to be way up.
You drink four big gulps of beer every day.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just substituted one for the other.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm beer and iced tea, and that's pretty much it. So, which is why I get crap from our Coca-Cola partner all the time, because I don't touch their stuff.
You don't support the sponsors, Pat. Come on.
They need to make something else.
Santino Bono wants to know, is St. Louis FC considering a move given that we've had two big floods in the last 2 years? Now, at one point it's kind of flippant, but do you guys look forward to the future of maybe having to move?
I think, well, I'd be lying if I said that no, it hasn't crossed my mind. I think that our take right now is one is priority to get soccer park back so we can play games this year. And I think we're going to, this may sound a little bizarre, but I think we're going to wait and see if it happens again. If it happens again and starts to look like it's going to become routine, then we're going to have to start to look at other places and other solutions. And that's a very complicated process that we probably, you know, I would envision we would spend some time thinking about it before it's an emergency.
Right.
But not a lot of time, because a soccer park, and we've talked about this before, to be successful in this league off the field, you almost have to own your stadium. Yeah. You can't go somewhere else. And so,
and to build something new that if you were designing your dream stadium from scratch for USL, we're looking at least 15 to 20 million probably.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's not a cheap endeavor just to build a new stadium.
No, there's the where and there, and then what are you going to build? And then obviously we don't have 15 or 20 million laying around, so you'd have to partner with somebody and try and get some kind of subsidy. Careful, I'm not trying to upset anybody here, but you know, whether it's TIFs or SID. So yeah, right now it's not a priority at all. If we start seeing this flood pattern increase, then we'll have to look at it and see what's best for the franchise.
What, you mean there's not another mega brewer that's just going to hand over a ton of acreage to you for free?
Kirkwood Station's growing, but I don't think they're there yet.
Ryan wanted to know, we saw you guys signed a deal with Lindenwood College today in their sports management department. Should be a nice, symbiotic relationship. But Ryan wants to know, since this deal has been signed, how many times have you threatened to give away Jeremy's office to one of the kids that's coming out to the park?
Well, Jeremy has to wear floaties in his office currently. Jeremy and I, we were joking today that we haven't seen each other, I think, in 8 days. And I think we're going to therapy. I think we're growing apart. And the Lindenwood deal's great. The more we can connect with the community, especially college kids who are looking to get experience, it's great for us and great for them. And Lindenwood runs a great program.
Interns.
We got a lot of them.
Stuart asked the last question, but he kind of already addressed it. If the Azteca win, where will we play? You'd consider the usual suspects of some college stadiums maybe around town that we might be able to
Rockwood
look
Summit
at.
Middle School.
College stadiums are a really good guess.
So there you go. And there are a few college stadiums in St. Louis that we could make use of.
For sure.
ITT.
Yes.
Sanford Brown.
last question is from Pat Berry. Who's a better boss, Tom or Fred?
Depends what I'm asking for. Fred definitely answers yes on the financial side. Tom helps me when I'm in trouble.
Fred gets you into trouble. Tom helps you out of trouble.
I was going to say it's like evil devil, yeah. Happy angel on his shoulders.
Yeah. Fred miraculously disappears when things get a little tight. And sometimes that's when Jim comes around.
Favorite moment supporting this team so far, and the lowest moment.
Going all the way back?
Yep. The last two and a half bit seasons, best moment and worst moment.
I'll start with the worst moment, and probably not what you expect, but when we went down to Sacramento in that game.
I was pretty low.
It was 3-0, I think, before we started to come back.
20 minutes, yeah.
You're right. 20 minutes in, 3-0. I remember standing up against the rail, and just that was when I started to feel a little bit of hopelessness, like this is not maybe fixable.
You might have just been picking up on the general mood of the crowd.
How could I not? Yeah, beer sales went way up, and that was me included. Yeah. But that was my low spot, because I knew what light ahead, and
that really was sort of a, if we can make it through this, we might have a light at the end of the tunnel, and it just all did not happen.
Yeah, maybe. But I think for me it was, we had a good crowd. Sacramento was in town, which was a big opponent for us because of what they've been able to do. And to see 20 minutes and 3-0, it was just, to me, that's when it smacked me in the face that what was really going on. And like you guys joke about, it's the hope that kills you. That includes us. You know, we're not immune to that. And so that was my low point. Oh my gosh, my high point. Man, that is really tough. I would say the Minnesota game's got to be one of them. But probably a better answer is every time we're sold out, is it honestly? And that has nothing to do with revenue. And I know the staff
a sigh of relief.
They're going to call me a liar, yeah. But when you walk into a full stadium, and that's any team I've ever been involved with, Dayton all the way back to indoor and everything, there's no feeling like that. And then if you get the result when you're sold out, man, that's, you go home happy that night.
There has been like the opening game, we were so happy. Like there was a you could taste the joy. You could feasibly touch it. It was just a different feeling.
The Ottawa game?
Yeah.
The first game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was magnificent.
Well, and you mentioned the Minnesota game. That to me is always one of the best because I just remember everybody was on the field and jumping up and down and, you know, big throng of people. And all of a sudden, I'm standing next to Pace and Pace is pounding on a drum. I'm like, how did you get a drum? And he doesn't care. He's just playing drums. And that was just a great, great feeling.
How did you get a drum? I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe he's just like, I don't know. I'm just playing a drum.
The only home game I've not been to.
And that was also why it was special.
I'm sorry I brought it up. I apologize.
The only home game in 2.5 years I've been to.
I would also add to that, this year when we scored those late goals and seeing the guys, you know, run into the corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, the league, I don't know if Jeremy told you guys, but the league wasn't too happy with that. And then we weren't too happy with the league. And anyway, that went round and round for a while. But to see that, to see our players connect with our fans, and it's just pure joy. I mean, how can you not get excited about that?
Yeah, and now that they've taken it to the next level with the chant after a win.
Totally unsolicited. We have no idea where that came from. At least I don't. And how cool is that?
That was all Mirko and Sarah.
Yeah, we know exactly where it
came from. Oh, really?
Yeah. Sarah Robertson runs our Instagram, and she and Mirko had been talking, you know, and he was sending videos of stuff that they, you know, that's cool over for them at home, and that came across. And we were on the bus down to Louisville, and she's like, oh, you got to see this. And there was probably, 8-10 of us in the back of the bus that got to see it for the very first time. And we're all like, oh, shit.
If we win, if we win, we're doing that.
Yeah. And it just kind of took off from there. You know, we shared it in our private Facebook group, and everybody picked up on it. And then all of a sudden, it just took on its own life.
The thing is with that Ottawa game as well is that Ottawa are a good team.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We had
seen them in the preseason and how big they were.
That we battered Tulsa last year.
Yeah.
But Ottawa last year, I think, would have beat us. Yes. You know, I think that's why there was the elation because we knew we hadn't beaten Cannon Fodder. Yeah. We'd beaten a good team, you know.
Well, and you used to do the radio show, and every time you would come out, you know, after the pregame stuff, almost every time you would say, these guys are big. Because we had a small team.
Yeah, yeah.
And this year, Ottawa's big. And we've gotten a little bigger. We're still not giants out there, but we stood up to a big team.
We've got muscle.
I see little Brian Sisulka walk past and then some giant that they had. I'm like,
That guy was only 5'10", but he seemed monstrous.
When Jeremy and I were down in Florida, I was down there when they played Ottawa. Or maybe I missed. Anyway, sometime I came across the Ottawa team. We were walking. I'm not the tallest guy in the world. But that is without a doubt the biggest soccer team I've ever seen.
They've got that one fullback that looks—he looks like a football player.
They're
like,
huge,
like just square.
And I'm surprised at their results. I think they're better than the results.
Oh, absolutely. And they've not had an easy start either. They've played a lot of good teams, you know. And when they start playing the Bethlehems and the Orlando City Bees and the Harrisburgs, they're going to shoot right up the table.
And when they play home games, they're going to be very tough to beat.
And that's why I was so pissed off about not doing well against Orlando City Bee. That, you know, these teams are going to come in and play them later and do well.
You take 6 stars off any team in this league.
I'm not arguing.
We play our first 11 against Orlando, we beat them 2-0, I'll tell you.
But the problem is that other teams are going to get.
I know, and that's what I said.
That's the frustration.
But that's what I love about Preki, and he, you know, I think he would share with anybody. with that lineup,
not us, he wouldn't be here.
Yeah, with that lineup, I think a lot of people would say, "Hey, we're good with that."
Yeah,
not Preki. He doesn't care what the lineup is.
Yeah,
there to get 3 points, and so I think as a staff, we all said, "Hey, if we come out of there with 1 point, we're going to be happy with that." But that's why that guy just wills these players and demands so many great things from them. And I mean, he wasn't furious that we didn't get a win. He understood it.
No, but that's the kind you have to set those expectations if you want people to meet them. And you know, you can't go in saying it's okay, guys, I know we're injured. You have to go in saying, look, I am paying you to be a professional football player to start this game and win it. And you do have to have high expectations. And you know, I think that will pay dividends as we go on in the season and get late in the season, because things like injuries happen and you do get beat up as the season goes on. And knowing that he expects that level from everybody on the team, I think it'll pay off.
So, got to ask, do you have superstitions like Jeremy about games?
Jeremy is not superstitious.
He's just stitious.
He's just stitious.
Jeremy is a riddle wrapped in an enigma. So, when I travel with him on the road for road games, I know he tries to tone it down around me, but I'll, you know, we'll be somewhere. I'll say, "Hey, I'm gonna have a beer." No, I don't drink 4 games. Well, you're not playing, for Christ's sake. Yeah, anyway, no, but I saw the one.
I don't
joke
have
online.
Sex before games, just because my wife says no, no matter what. So
you don't have sex after games.
Yeah, I don't
either.
Have sex ever. Sorry.
No, that's a good, interesting policy. I'll think about that.
He won't have sex with you before games either.
I'm changing my habits. Changing my ways.
Jeremy should add that to his list. Well, one thing I definitely don't do is I don't have sex with Brad before games.
Yeah. Yeah, and if we're traveling on the road together, I'm hoping it's with no one.
Yeah. I hope we go into a slump and Jeremy's like, "All right, we got to do this."
Brad, you're a slump.
We got to change it up. Sorry.
No. I'm really.
Again, we're characters.
This is enlightening. I'm learning a lot.
It's the whole phrase, take one for the team.
I would say not really superstitious. I don't sit. I saw that one. I think it was even Tom who said it. Why does he stand during the entire game?
Are you pacing? Are you rubbing your hands?
It's not superstitious. It's that I cannot sit still, and I'm obviously watching the game and very into that, but I'm also watching the stadium.
Where do you are you up in the press box? Or are you?
I'm right below the press box, up against the rail in the corner there. But then, when things don't go well, I move.
Yeah.
And it's not superstition. It's just me not being able to stand there. And so, no, not a lot of superstitions. I did for the first 2 home games when we won. I ended up eating something light before the game, and I tried my first superstition, and then we lost.
Didn't work out.
I said, okay, that's done. So, no, not really.
So we won't see the playoff beard or anything like that?
Oh, God, no. No, but I will tell you this. After every win, I try to buy the coaches a beer in the beer garden afterwards. So if you're interested in meeting the coaches, come out and hang out with us.
Usually at that point in time, we're – pounding them down at the tailgate instead.
Correct.
No, at that point in time, I'm like, okay, I got to stop because I have to drive in half an hour.
That's true.
Yeah, you guys have a job to do down there.
That's right.
But Leonard and Matt Caution and Jones, and usually Brian Bounds come out, and that's, I would say that's a routine, not a superstition.
There you go.
That's a good routine to have, though.
Yeah, those great guys.
I think you don't do it a lot, but when you do it, it's really appreciated. Sometimes before games, you'll send a cart full of beer down to the tailgate. That's one of my favorite traditions. You should incorporate that before wins.
To be fair, it was a winning tradition.
I have to correct myself.
Yeah.
When we did it the first time and we won, and this is previous generation, Jeremy and I said, send down the damn beer. We need more wins. So
whatever, you know, we did last time, do
we'll just we'll that. Save that one for when we really need a win.
Yeah. Like every game, June 2nd.
That's the thing. That June 2nd game, this is going to be like a homecoming. This is just going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean,
because it was going to be that way regardless.
Luckily, yeah, for us, the way it works out, that was a big break in our schedule anyway. It really only is going to affect one game.
How dumb luck is that, really?
But, yeah, people are going to be amped up to get back out there, have a good time, and celebrate the return.
Because, I mean, it's
going to be
Soccer
Park 3. I hope that happens.
It's going
to
be
truthful.
We're not guaranteeing. We're not guaranteeing.
Correct. We fully expect, and we're working like
you could
like
run
dogs,
into more problems that we don't know yet. Correct. Or delays always happen.
But I mean, that's 6 weeks of not having a home game, basically.
Yeah. So since April 22nd.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're all Jones, and we know the guys are, itching to get back, and they will be in action this weekend in Charleston. So,
you going down, Pat,
or Rochester?
I am not. I'm on flood duty for a little while here. So, having said that, though, a long time ago, I purchased tickets to Wichita.
There you go.
Oh, when the draw came out, Derek Gottman, first thing he did was send me the price. It was cheap as chips on it. It was $100 return. I was like, I'm almost tempted to buy it. And if we don't play there, then I'm just out $100.
I thought you were just going to go for a lovely day in Wichita. Wednesdays in Wichita, the new podcast for Matt Bird. Yeah,
I'm not sure that exists, but lovely day in Wichita. But no, Jeremy and I were actually, I think we were in Pittsburgh, and he and I are both getting in and out for less than $250. And so
that's a game I would have liked to go to, because I'd like to see their stadium.
Like to see that stadium.
Was it nice in person?
Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I think I put Pittsburgh up there with any stadium in the league. I wish that they drew more fans, because I think a packed house would change the atmosphere.
Yeah.
They don't have guys like you, honestly, or the Lilligans, so a little unfortunate there. But
they don't have overweight people?
It looks like a beautiful stadium there, though, with the bridge in the background. The train goes by.
And I think we lost two balls that night in the river, which that would be frustrating. But with the –
those balls aren't cheap.
The river, the cliff on the other side, and then you got downtown Pittsburgh. I mean – and then the walkability to so many great bars and restaurants. That is a gem that they need to take advantage of.
You might have to do that trip.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend it.
I was going to go.
It was a Wednesday, though.
It was a Wednesday.
Yeah, that was the problem.
But we won. That was our last win. I want to play that again.
La, 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 la. But it's all going to change this weekend.
I think so. Let's get back on the horses.
We've had a couple, iffy results here, but
we've had a lot of injuries.
We're still right in it.
I'm telling you what, though. A lot of results have gone our way.
Yeah.
This weekend, it could have gotten real ugly, and the standings ended up being fair.
But in addition to Charleston, which we've acknowledged is going to be a tough game, then our next game is Tampa Bay Rowdies. That's another tough one, because they're right up there in the top of the table, too. So
we're front-loaded pretty hard.
We should have a stretch coming up where we should make some hay, but if we can get points in these next two, it'll be even better.
Are you seeing the pattern? So we play in Pittsburgh. Right on the water. Tampa, right on the water. Fenton,
right on the water.
Right in the water.
Charleston's on an island.
So is Fenton.
Another good stadium, though. That Three Lions pub you mentioned earlier, I think I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but the memorabilia is insured for $5 or $6 million.
It's a lot.
It's crazy.
They've got a signed Paul Gascoigne Euro 96 England shirt framed. It's in the men's bathroom. I've got nowhere else to put it. The walls
ridiculous.
Are so full of just stuff.
I remember you saying that before, and it just blows my mind.
I know Jeremy took a picture of an Arsenal jersey that was signed by Thierry Henry or Bergkamp or somebody, and was like, "Hey, look what I got you in Charleston." I'm like, "I love you." He goes, "Shut up."
Yeah, that stadium's showing its age a little bit, and I know the new owners are pumping in a lot of money, so I'm sure it's turning around, but that Three Lions pub is like no other.
But again, they don't fill that stadium. I mean, they don't get close to it. I mean, it's hard to compete against a phenomenal beach down the street.
Yeah.
But another team like Pittsburgh that deserves more, I think, from the local community.
Yeah, I think, my take on Charleston is that they've been around for 20-something years. Back in the day, you couldn't get in.
Yeah.
It was sold out in the beginning. And it's probably got a little stale. And the new owner is definitely injecting some life into it. I expect a rebrand pretty soon, and I'm just guessing. I don't have any inside knowledge, but he's investing in the stadium, and just to put 5,000 people in there, Charleston should be able to do it.
All right. Anybody else got anything else before we adjourn?
No, I think we've had such a weird stretch here. It's kind of
And it's weird to project so long into the future. June 2nd, we're hoping will be a home game, and If that happens,
theory, that could have been our next home game, regardless of the water. That's the thing that from this podcast on, it would have been potentially our next home game, regardless.
That's true. But we were going to do something special for the bus two people at the last home game. Obviously, it got postponed, so we couldn't do that. So the next home game we have, we've got a special presentation for the bus two people. So if you are on bus two, please make it a point to come to the next home game.
And if not, tough.
And if you're born on bus two, come to the next home game anyway, because what else are you doing? Yeah.
But more importantly, this Saturday, ITAP, watch party.
Yep.
We'll have our normal drink specials. They've been killing it with the drink specials. They're always at least one St. Louis beer and a cider. And we need a better result this time. So,
yep. It's been a long time since we've seen each other, so come out to ITAP and gather with like-minded individuals to have a beer and watch our team pull out some magic.
Not suck. That's the important
thing. No, they don't suck.
I know. I'm just saying don't suck.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Why'd you say suck? Now that's in people's heads.
Who do we play on June 2nd?
June 2nd is...
Toronto FC 2.
There you go.
Mark Pace.
Yep.
Possibly. I don't know.
And then followed by Bethlehem Steel at home.
Where do they sit in the standings?
Bethlehem Steel is...
I'm making a very casual point about our next two home games.
Bethlehem
They're
Steel...
They're winnable.
Absolutely. Bethlehem Steel have got 6 points. Because they beat Cincinnati twice, which is hilarious. Which is actually hilarious.
It is.
But...
Toronto was second to last.
I don't know much about Cincinnati, but do they draw a lot of people at their stadium?
I've heard they do. I don't know if it's true or not.
They get a good walk up.
I think there might be some sort of buy one get 20,000 free deal. Mm. I'm not certain.
Yep.
Give plasma, get a ticket.
Yep.
And you laugh. That's what happened when they played us. You give. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Toronto 2.
I wish they'd have had somebody bite us. Then we could have got a free player.
But that's a Friday game.
Oh, speaking of Bitey. Okay, we talked about it on the last show. Bitey did get a 6-game suspension.
Yes, he did.
So I was right.
Was it enough, guys?
Brad called it. Brad actually called it.
It's about right, I think.
But then following that up.
Pittsburgh Riverhounds. They re-signed Sparta Kick.
Yeah.
How do you bring
Romeo Parks?
How do you bring
who does not fit into the values that Pittsburgh Riverhounds espouse?
We're a forgiving nation
until the next season when they re-sign him.
Yes. We are a forgiving nation.
I'm not saying the kid doesn't deserve a second chance because we've all done dumb things in our lives.
I haven't kicked somebody in the back,
but I do think
Eric Callender did.
but I do think it was poor.
However, the next
I think it was poor.
Possible.
A poor idea for Pittsburgh to re-sign him.
I was stunned. You know if. If you're fed up with him enough to get rid of him,
yeah,
how do you bring him back?
They had to get rid of him. He was suspended for the rest of the season.
But they could have just simply released his contract and say, you know, he's suspended for a year. They made a big point of making him a scapegoat.
That
and
he
saying,
doesn't fit our values.
Yeah. And then to re-sign him, what's that saying? I don't know. I just think it's kind of two-faced to re-sign the kid.
It's their funeral. Let them have it.
Now, if he kicks somebody else. If him and Bitey get into it?
I was going to say, if we could have like one of those like in Rocky where they punch at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, if he bites us, if he bites, Bitey bites us, he's getting dragged
into his ankle.
Yeah.
Did you see Cincinnati got another player suspended for 4 games?
This,
that's where I was
how many is this? Is this 5
And then he got traded to Oklahoma City. Oh,
did they bring in Koenig? So is that 5 straight red cards for?
I think it was 4 in 5 games.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and that elbow was...
It's not as good as our 4-2 that we had when we had...
But that was also a bit of a throwdown. That was the difference. I mean...
Well, and we also had Bibbs trying to get out of it by blaming somebody else.
But that elbow was fierce.
Yeah,
that was not fucking around.
He got suspended for 4 games.
As well he should have. Yeah. I mean, he came in he's Eric Lindros style.
He's now going to Oklahoma City Energy, so.
They don't have to deal with him.
Yeah, but they have an assistant coach who'll murder him if he messes up. So.
Oh, God.
Wait, allegedly?
Allegedly.
That was Bradley de Munbrun.
He did say allegedly. Yeah. He covered his ass.
It's allegedly. He didn't.
He got acquitted. The man is
cleared
innocent.
On all charges.
Oh, sorry. My mistake.
Right.
Because
in this country, guilty people are never.
I take it back. Sorry.
But so we've got Bitey, Sparta
dude,
Kick,
I'm telling
and
you,
a murderer.
I will never refer to him other than anything but Bitey from now on.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a hell of a player. And he's got a good set of teeth on him, too. Wow.
The good strikers. You
hungry
know?
Little devil.
I was going to say.
Suarez, same thing.
Yeah, they score goals, bite people.
That's right.
Maybe Valesky needs to start biting a few people.
Nope, he does not. No, please no.
Pick up a few more goals.
Nicest guy. Just him.
Yeah, you haven't seen it, Matt did a 15 minutes with Christian Valesky.
Me and Miami Hughes sat there, and he's Christian's girlfriend is still in Rochester, coming down in 2 weeks, and he just liked hanging out, talking football. He was just the most personable dude.
We need to have him on soon.
He was perfect.
I think people would like to talk to him.
Perfect for the pod. Just a really top quality guy.
Let's make it happen.
All right.
All right, we can do that. All right, I don't have anything else.
Nope. Watch party.
Saturday night.
Pat, any announcements you want to make?
No.
Okay. We're not signing Drogba or anything.
God, I hope not. No. We're done with our surprises for the year.
We're buying a field.
Exactly. We're buying field one.
No, actually, Lloyd's of London is buying a field.
There you go.
Let's be specific.
Even better.
All right.
All right.
You think you broke your burping record this episode?
It's the new Glarus, man. It changes everything.
There you go.
There you go. But first you must learn to swim all over rocking. Oh, no.
Dickhead.